Welcome back to the Giants pregame show, talking baseball alongside Marty Lurie and Bill Lasky. I'm Kerry Crowley. It's a pleasure to welcome in our next guest, Adam Copeland, joining the show. Copes, always exciting Saturday mornings for you. What do you got going on today?
Well, so far, nothing exciting. But as soon as I get off the phone with you guys, depending on how long-winded you decide to be here, Kerry, I'm going to cruise right on down to the ballpark and catch the game with my mom and my brother and sister for a little early Mother's Day celebration. So it should be fun today. Kevin Gausman, and hopefully the Giants get another one.
Absolutely. Hey, it beats lasagna and watching the game from home, so you'll take that. I want to get your perspective, Copes. I want to get your perspective on Wade Miley and the no-hitter he threw on Friday night, because we've talked a lot on our podcast about no-hitters. We've talked about the seven-inning no-hitter that Madison Bumgarner threw. Are we asking the right questions? Is a no-hitter even special anymore?
Yeah, no-hitter's totally special. I mean, the fact that we've had two in the last 2 weeks, and it's like the first time it's happened since, I think it was two guys, like Fernando Valenzuela, and was it Stu, or somebody threw no-hitters on the same day and at some point in the mid-80s. So I think it's totally special. If it wasn't special, the guys wouldn't celebrate it on the field. The way the players react to it tells you exactly how important it is, right? That the guys get excited, they rally around a guy, and especially a guy like Wade Miley, who, it's funny, I sort of had a thought about him. I went to the All-Star game in 2012 in Kansas City, and I was sitting there, and sitting next to me was Wade Miley's two best friends, and like he had brought his family out to Kansas City for his first All-Star appearance. I think he came up with Arizona, and he was like looking around like, man, Chipper Jones is here, Bryce Harper was there for his first, Mike Trout was there, Buster Posey's there, all these baseball legends. Justin Verlander started for the AL, and they were like at this party the night before, and his buddies were saying how out of place he felt, that he was like this young dude who, yeah, was a good young pitcher, but he felt like, you know, making this All-Star appearance and representing Arizona maybe didn't carry the same weight as some of these other guys. And it's cool to see where he's come, and I think it's totally a great accomplishment. You got to be a good pitcher, you got to have a good day. I feel like it's kind of random sometimes when guys throw perfect games, but good pitchers can throw no-hitters, and I think we saw that from Wade Miley yesterday.
Hey, good afternoon, Adam. It's Bill here. You know, sticking with the no-hitters, the analytics and all the different defensive shifts always help, but there's always got to be that great play. You always hear about it, you know, with the perfect game Kane made, and there's that one great play. But right now, it just seems like the defense is helping out all these no-hitters. And you know what? When you get guys that go out and throw 1-2 pitches and get quick outs, the game goes a little faster. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, there's something to be said about pitching to contact and trusting your defense and, like, getting an early lead from your offense and being able to attack and pound the strike zone. Like, you understand that. I mean, that's a given. That makes a pitcher feel comfortable, especially when he knows a ball can be hit right at a guy or not right at a guy, and they make a great play. But I think sort of coming back to the analytic side of things with this, you know, the three true outcome thing where it's a walk, a strikeout, or a home run, I think it feels like at times, sometimes defense is an afterthought. I think it felt like that for the Giants in the Cactus League this year, where we had no idea how good they'd be defensively, and certainly they're one of the better defensive teams. You and I were talking about that earlier this week, Bill, but they're like top five in the league in fewest errors allowed, or something like that, or fewest errors committed, I should say, and a few of them have been off throwing errors, so that doesn't have anything to do with positioning, really. That's just more about playing catch. So I think certainly the defense is a huge element to that, and that's one of the most fun things about the no-hitters is trying to pinpoint that late-inning great defensive play that's made where a guy saves the game, to your point, like Gregor Blanco and the Matt Cain facto.
Hey, Copes, during the offseason, the Padres stole all these headlines with the acquisitions of Blake Snell, Yu Darvish, Joe Musgrove, but the Giants 4-3 so far through seven games against San Diego, got Gausman going today against Musgrove. Has your perspective of the Padres and the moves that they made shifted at all since the beginning of the season? Are you still as impressed by what they did, considering all the pieces that they had to move this offseason to make this roster look like it does today?
Ah, Kerry, same old Padres, right? Same old Pods, just doing what they do every offseason, trying to stack back up and make a run. Remember when this happened a few years ago when they went out and they got, who'd they get, like Justin Upton or somebody? Matt Kemp was a big acquisition for them. They got Derek Norris from the A's, and like it looked like they were tooling up. And I think they went and they ended up making that trade for Craig Kimbrell. He was their closer that year. Like, they had a bunch of big names, mm-hmm. and they were thinking they were going to make a run. James Shields, big game James, and that kind of flamed out too. So my perspective hasn't really changed to them. I mean, it's a long season. It's early. The Giants are going to play them several more times this year. But I do think that we saw a difference. A 60-game season is not a whole season, right? And so I think a lot of our perspective heading into the offseason on the Padres was, wow, they're immediately a contender. We've seen a lot of teams get hot to start a season and then flame out when you get into the middle months of the season where you have to prove how much depth you have, and the big hitters have to sustain that production throughout the season, and you deal with injuries and things like that. Bullpens get tired. Starters get worn out. So I think when you play a 60-game season, our perspective was a little bit skewed, and they added some big players, but right now the Giants have played them pretty tough, and I think that says a lot about the Giants' depth and what they've been able to do with the injuries over the last couple of weeks.
You know, Adam, through COVID-19, the media has been taken away from the clubhouse and the different one-on-one conversations. But, you know, when we hear all these Zoom interviews, you're hearing a little bit more team atmosphere and you know, the mustache thing and things like that. But I want to throw you something that was said yesterday about Buster Posey, a generational talent. And when you hear about that, it's about these young guys seeing him and what he's accomplished this year in the short term. But it's also showing his leadership. I'd like to hear what you have to think about this.
I totally agree with the generational talent thing, especially when you look at the catcher position, right? I think Buster, because there's only been really two sustained great catchers in the time that he's played. It's him and it's Yadi Molina, who's been around since 2004, right? And comes from a great catcher family and a great baseball family. So he came maybe with a lot of fanfare. And I remember, you know, Benji and Jose talking about Yadi was going to be the best one. And we're like, how could that be? And it turns out Yadi's going to be the Hall of Famer, right? So there's a lot of times, because there's another catcher, we compare Buster. But I've been seeing a lot of praise, like, around the league. Nick Castellanos earlier this season had that spat with Yadi, and then after said, oh, no, that guy's a guy I look up to. I'm going to ask him to sign a jersey for me. Like, he's a guy who's going to get a farewell tour around the league, right? And I think the same will be said about Buster Posey when it's time for Buster to end his career, whenever that is. And it doesn't look like it's going to be anytime soon with the way he's played so far this year. I think we're going to see that type of respect from other players and young players who are up now, who have seen Buster Posey since he got to the big leagues, right? Since he became the MVP and won batting titles. I think he gets that same respect. And Bill, a moment for me that kind of showed that last night, remember he caught that foul tip off the inside of his knee last night when Blake Snell was hitting? And the umpire obviously gives the catcher a breather, right? He comes out, he dusts off the plate, he gives him a sack, and it's Buster Posey, so you do that. But the next pitch, I think Blake Snell swings and misses and strikes out. Trent Grisham walked up to the plate, stepped into the box, and then stepped out and took a couple of hacks, turned his back to home plate, walked away for a minute. And it was almost as if he was giving Buster that respect. Like, hey, man, you're a legend. You're an all-time great. I'm a young player. Let's give you a minute to catch your breath before we get back into this game. And I felt like that was a moment last night that kind of displayed that same sort of reverence from around the league for Buster that we see for Yadi.
Well, speaking of generational talents and the greatest of all time to do it, there's no one better than Willie Mays, Copes, and the Giants celebrated his 90th birthday at the ballpark on Friday night. A really special night to see Mays driving around in the car around the field pregame. And I'm curious to share your perspective on your life as a baseball fan and how Willie Mays has influenced you, even though you never had the opportunity to see him play, because we're in the same boat right there.
Yeah, influence me is a funny thing, but I think it's like Willie Mays is the ultimate generational, like, connector, I think, for me, and like what was the golden age of baseball, right? Because he was a rookie in 1951 and maybe the greatest Giants moments before they win the World Series in 2010 came with Willie Mays in the 51 season and Bobby Thompson hitting the shot heard around the world, and Willie's on deck and he's a rookie, and then 1954 they win the World Series. So I think for us, for kids our age or people our age, Kerry, like, you have to know before the Giants win in 2010 your history of why you don't have one, right? And the last guy to bring you one was Willie Mays in 1954. And even in 62, when he's got, you know, McCovey and Cepeda and Marichal and all the greats, right? All the legends that we know, the Hall of Famers that we know as all-time Giants greats, Willie was the connector. He was the last guy to bring a championship to the franchise, and that was before they came to San Francisco. So for me, it was that connection. It was knowing that the all-time greatest ball player was our guy, was our, while it was the New York Giants, he was a San Francisco Giant for even longer once they moved. And he was our guy, and that was our great connector, I think, to the last World Series before the era we have now. And I think that's even that little thread between Buster and Willie, I think, that they share that sort of – they were both rookies of the year. They both go to a World Series their rookie year. They both come back in their next full season and win a batting title and a World Series. So I think those connectors are just pretty cool.
Oh, so well said. And I think that that's great perspective for anyone who didn't grow up with the opportunity to watch Willie Mays. And something that's really special about the Bay Area in general, Copes, and you and I have talked a lot about this, but you know, the Giants have always had great players. Willie Mays, Willie McCovey, Barry Bonds, Tim Lincecum, Buster Posey. There's always been a star talent who can attract that younger audience and who can make lifelong fans there. And so I think that that's one of the reasons why Buster Posey's season this year has been so meaningful to the Giants and to the organization, to a lot of fans who missed Buster and missed baseball in normal times in 2020. And so I do think that you make a great point there about Willie, and also just about Buster and what his season has meant to see him come back at the age of 34 and to accomplish really what none of us thought was possible.
Oh, dude, and it's given me the feels. Like, seeing Buster hit the home run last night, and I know he's not in there today. It's going to be Casale today, and Buster probably deserves the breather. But it's like, you know, it's we've talked about this with Steph Curry, you know, taking the year off. And Buster obviously did it for his health and for his family and the safety of his family and having two new babies in the family. And I think that's all fantastic. But what it's done for his body, he looks incredible. And what he's done at the plate, I think, makes us kind of – it reminds us of when he got here. And he was that next superstar. Like, we had Tim Lincecum, who was the comet across the sky and burst into the big leagues and was just on fire winning Cy Youngs in his second year and his third year and then World Series. But Buster Posey was the same thing and just sort of the quiet leader. And I'm so thrilled that he's back to the Buster of old. And right now, the pace he's on, the way he's hitting right now, the way they're using him, kind of 2 days on, one day off, taking care of his body. And he's really only catching right now. They're not using him at first. I think this has been fantastic. It's been fun to watch. It's exciting. And it makes you think, like, is he hearing these questions about whether or not he's a Hall of Famer? And he's like, no, I'm going to put an end to that right now. We're going to make sure these numbers say I'm a Hall of Famer with all the achievements at the end. And it'll be an interesting case when that debate comes up. But what we're seeing right now is the Buster Posey of old, and it makes you feel like he can do this for a number of more years, and certainly we hope it's in a Giants uniform.
Well, no doubt it's been special. And Copes, enjoy the game today. We won't keep you for longer. Get out to the ballpark and let us know how it goes.
All right, guys. We'll catch you guys later. Go Gossman. Should be a fun one today.
Kevin Gossman, Joe Musgrove coming up at the top of the hour. Giants and Padres. Up next, we're going to go in the booth with Dave Fleming at Oracle Park. You're listening to Talkin' Baseball, KNBR 104.5, 680, the sports leader.